Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled, Getting Your Company Ready for the Next Generation.
Bill, today's presentation is totally unique in terms of our normal programs. This is actually the first webinar presentation of a series that you created with Glenn Herman, dealing with the whole area of succession planning. Since you're the co-host of the webinar series, why don't you give our listeners an overview of the series and how they can attend the monthly presentations free of charge?
I'd be happy to do that, Tom. Yeah, the webinar series is titled The Next Chapter. Each of our hourly monthly webinars deals with a specific aspect of the succession planning process. The series, as you said, is free to contractors. To register for the webinar series, all you need to do is go to grandylink.com/the next chapter and click on subscribe. Today's presentation is actually the first webinar in that series. It'll talk about the overall succession planning process from a 1,000-foot view. The second webinar has also been presented and recorded, which talks about choosing your successor.
So, Bill, if my understanding is correct, a new contractor signs up for the free webinar series. They'll also have access to all the previous recorded sessions as well. Is that right?
That's right, Tom. When you register, you'll be able to attend all future monthly sessions as well as having access to all past recorded sessions. They're simply listed on our YouTube channel. Anyone wishing to sign up for the free monthly webinars can simply go to, again, that link was grandylink.com/the next chapter and click on the subscribe button. This presentation is a conversation between Glenn Herman and I about the various aspects critical to the succession planning process. Glenn Herman comes from a family of entrepreneurs. He joined Creative Business Services, or CBS Global, in 2020 with an emphasis on helping people realize their personal, professional, and financial goals. Glenn is a graduate of the College of Business at Marquette University. He served in the United States Army as infantry and single corps officer. After his military experience, Glenn worked with several closely held companies and a Fortune 500 company in various sales and leadership roles. Glenn's focus on systems and processes led him into the ownership teams of a plastics manufacturer. After growing the company's sales, he sold his interest to pursue other business ventures. Other business ownership experiences include ownership of a residential light commercial HVAC firm, a marketing firm catering closely to family-held resorts, and most recently, a web-based applications company focusing on the use of artificial intelligence and machine learning. Glenn also has extensive experience within the waste, metals, and recycling industries. His understanding of process and systems allows him to uncover value for buyers and helps him maximize the potential sale price for sellers. And now, with getting your company ready for the next chapter, here is Bill Kennard interviewing Glenn Herman with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation. I want to welcome Glenn Herman. Glenn, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thanks for having me.
You bet.
Bill, really enjoy working with you. My name is Glenn Herman. I work with Creative Business Services out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. We work nationally and internationally. We have a presence with contractors all over, and we work specifically to help buyers get the most for their businesses and for those who are purchasing businesses, and we're working on that side of the equation. We're trying to get them the best deal we can.
And really, you work with both sides, don't you? Both the
we
buyer
do.
And the seller in some
we
cases.
Do.
You're,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're looking for that buyer, and sometimes you're looking for somebody, you know, you've got somebody right. Who wants to buy, and you're looking for the seller as well.
It seems like right now we have more buyers mm-hmm. than we have sellers.
Isn't that the case?
Yeah,
no question about that. It's been a pretty active market here, and I think that's only going to continue for a period of time. And so that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this. Now, one of the cool parts about this this session is this is not a one-and-done thing. You know, we always find it interesting. We do an 8-hour succession planning training class. And as we do that, we'll have contractors that come in and go, oh, this is great, Glenn. I'm going to attend an 8-hour class. And when I get done after 8 hours, I'll have my entire succession plan in place, ready to go. And we'll be set and move forward. Well,
Can you put together a complete succession plan in 8 hours?
No, this is going to be kind of a shotgun approach today. We're going to look at it from, you know, kind of as we talked about earlier, just kind of clipping the mountaintops as we go. But we'll dive down as we get further into this process. It's very similar to what we do. When we first meet with a potential client or prospect, we're looking at their business from a mile high. Mm-hmm. And as we move on, we dig down into the specifics to be able to market that business in the event of a sale, or in the event of looking at a seller, we really try to get to know the seller so that as a business intermediary, you know, my job is to act as an agent or a go-between between the buyers and the sellers. So we need to get to know those parties intimately. Mm-hmm. We have to know everything about their business life, their business acumen, their experiences, what's important to them culturally, professionally, from a legacy standpoint, all those things.
No doubt. So one of the things that we're going to do is Glenn and I are going to get together and do this again every single month, right? So again, not a one and done in the next chapter. We're going to take this and basically we're going to, every month, we're going to unpack another segment. And the reason why we decided to do it in that format is we know even in our full-day training programs, we get out of there and there's this whole list of stuff that we need to do, and you can't do it all at once, right? And so we're going to take, each month, we'll take another little segment of something else that we need to focus on. Today, we're kind of just opening the door, and as you said, we're skipping mountaintops here a little bit, looking at it from a really, really high level. So let's, from that point, let's go forward a little bit. Now, you know, Glenn, when we talked about this initially, we're talking about this whole idea of succession planning, right? And that's really a big topic because, you know, you go back and you look in, you know, Webster defines succession planning as the act of following one thing after another, or the process by which one person follows another in order. Or maybe this last one is a little bit more applicable, and it's the descendant of of transmission of a throne or a state or a title, right? It's the leader of the company, the owner of the company, and that piece of the puzzle. But this is probably the first area of confusion that we run into every single time where we start having this discussion about succession and the succession process. And so there's really three different terms that are used on a regular basis, right? So let's take a minute and just kind of unpack these a little bit if we can. So the first one is succession planning. So really, how would you define succession planning in light of these three items that we've got here?
Well, we have somebody in mind with a succession plan, potentially. Mm-hmm. It could be a family member. Mm-hmm. And we may have in mind what that person, you know, might be out in the general market, a competitor potentially, or mm-hmm. a larger company that's been buying up other companies. On the succession planning, there's typically somebody that's in.
We already have an idea of who that next person is going to be.
Correct.
Or who we'd like it to be. Let's put it that way.
Correct.
Right, because we may not necessarily know. Are they interested? Do they have any ability? Do they have right? All those things that are there. Right. So that tends to be a much longer process, doesn't it?
Generally.
Right, so that's one of the first ones. The second one is really what I would call transition planning, right? And this is a little bit more specific, right? So transition, I already know who that next person is. Mm-hmm. Right, so how does that process look a little bit different than the full succession process?
Well, we need to have, from a transition standpoint, you need to make sure that all the items that you're looking to meet culturally, financially. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure the skill set is at a level where that transition can occur.
Yep.
And defined, mm-hmm. Ideally. There would be a defined passing of the baton, mm-hmm. as we talked about. Yep. And generally, it's very systematic. There's a process there.
Sure. Okay. Well, then this third one is really the one that I'll say most contractors tend to be a little bit more, they call it succession planning, but what they really mean is an exit strategy.
Right.
right?
I'm getting out right now. Unfortunately, and we see this all too often, maybe there's a health issue.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a family issue where somebody needs to exit for any number of reasons, the business. Mm-hmm. And it's very low. There's a very short planning window mm-hmm. in that regard. Unfortunately, that can be the case sometimes.
Right.
So.
And so it's interesting that one of the individual programs that I taught, I had one individual in class is basically, he raised his hand at one point. And he goes, look, I'm 72 years old. I've been doing this all my life. I'm tired. I want to be done. Here's the keys. Who wants to buy it from me? Right? You know, and you know, that was one example. And the other one that I chuckle about a little bit is a business owner who had developed or created this very successful company. And one morning, he was a little bit late for work. And he's usually not late. And his two sons were there, and they're talking, and they're in his office because they normally got together in the morning. And he walked in that morning, threw his keys down on the desk, and said, boys, I've done my job. Now it's your turn. Right? Now it's up to you. He goes, I'm going fishing. Now, where does that fall into this? Because, I mean, that creates a whole other set of problems, doesn't it?
It does.
Right? I mean, there's some real challenges there.
Yeah.
Right?
It all goes back to process. It all goes back to training. It all goes back to things that you do in the Contractor Academy. It's the opportunities that people take to create a process within their business to create structure. That's something that buyers really like to see. They like structure. They like process. Think of a franchise model. Very, very similar.
So really systems.
Systems, absolutely. If you have systems and they're not only that you have them, but you document them mm-hmm. So that they can be easily communicated, that is so key.
You know, I look at that one all the time and I think of, and I remember a plumbing contractor at one point talking to me about this issue, right? And he wanted to systematize everything in his company. And the example I always use with that one is look at McDonald's. Right? I mean, when was the last time you saw McDonald's either fail or close?
Right.
The only time I've ever seen them close is when they built a bigger building on the other side of the parking lot, right?
Yeah.
And you walk in there and you order a Big Mac back behind the counter next to that microwave thingy they call a grill these days, right? They've got a laminated placard back there and it shows them how to build a Big Mac.
Yeah.
Just think about that. You got a bunch of 16 and 17 year old kids who could care less about the success of this mm-hmm. business, right? They're more worried about what they're going to do tonight than they are right. about the success of it. And yet the company doesn't fail mm-hmm. because that laminated placard shows them first to put down the first, you know, bottom bun, and then you put down that soy thingy they put on it, they call a burger, and right, and then right. pickles, and you know, and when they're done, it's always the same. Mm-hmm. Never ever looks like a picture, but it's always the same,
yeah.
right? That's a system.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who walks in, they know how to build a burger.
And buyers universally love that. Now, that's not to say they might not make a change here or there, mm-hmm. but it's much easier when you have that roadmap. And I always give the analogy, if you went to Alaska from Wisconsin, mm-hmm. You'd be kind of silly not to at least have your route planned out. You'd have a roadmap. And it's, the chances of you following that 100% are virtually zero.
Right.
But it gives you that opportunity to get it back on track. And that's mm-hmm. why those systems are so important in the minds of a buyer. Because they can make a change, and if it doesn't work, they can get back on track because they have a system already in place.
So one of the other, you know, let me just ask you about this piece, right? So, you know, this systems piece, right? And we didn't talk about this so much beforehand, right? It's a little bit of a rabbit trail, but I think it's an important one. Is that the advantage is with the system, everybody in your company needs to know what that system is.
Absolutely. Right? And that's culture as well.
Okay, and that's exactly where I was going. You were kind of reading me there. Is that because everybody in the company knows when A happens, we do B every time,
mm-hmm.
right? If the people within your company have something happen and they have to wait till you get back to the office to ask you how to deal with this situation, you don't have a system. Right? I mean, that's the advantage of it, is the company can function at that point without that owner.
Absolutely. And that's so critical. You know, when you're buying a business, and I've bought businesses, you know, and I've sold businesses personally, when you by a business, you don't want to work necessarily in that business. You want to work on that business.
Ooh, so, there it is again.
So I don't know if that's a grandiosm, probably, but it's universal in business. Gerber's,
right? The email. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The whole piece of the
absolutely.
Puzzle.
Absolutely.
And I just worked with a contractor this week. We talked about that same thing. You have to get out of the field and focus on the business and start to put some of these puzzle pieces in place. Now, let me ask you this, right? So we look at these three items that we've got here, and one of the things that I've always said, and I believe it with everything in me, is if you want to sell your company, you need to have two things, right? Number one, we just touched on, in that it's got to be able to function without you.
Absolutely.
Because if it can't function without you, I hate to tell you, but you can't leave.
Well, then you're buying yourself a job.
Then you own a JOB, right? Yep. There's no question about it. I agree with that. So that's one of the first things that's there. So get the systems in place. When you leave, when you're not there, every time you go back, what didn't work? What didn't go the way it was supposed to? Put a system in place so that doesn't happen again. Second thing is it needs to be profitable. Mm-hmm. So how many businesses, right? And again, let's be clear, right? Glenn is not just in buying and selling businesses. I mean, you were in the HVAC industry for a long time as well.
For a time, yes.
Right? So you've got some of that. You've dealt with a little bit of that piece of the puzzle as well. How many businesses do you broker the transaction on where the company that's being sold is losing money?
Those are generally real estate transactions. They're not typically a business transaction.
Yeah. And and what's the big difference there?
But people who are buying, there's a couple of levels of buyers. Sometimes you have a buyer who is an individual that is maybe looking to get himself a job.
Yep.
That's not unlikely, but it's not the most common scenario. Oftentimes you'll have an entrepreneur that sees an opportunity and they want to go after that opportunity. And they're going to look at the numbers. They're going to look at their earnings before interest and taxes. They're looking at seller's discretionary earnings. They're looking at those numbers, and of those numbers, that's where the multiples come in. If you may also be in a situation. I have a large company right now that I'm working with that's looking to do roll-ups in the Midwest, and what they're doing is they're going into markets. They have very specific criteria, and one of those is profitability. And when they're buying, they're looking almost exclusively at the numbers. Very similar to what we talk about private equity companies, very similar to how they would do it. It becomes a very financial transaction for a lot of companies that are buying other companies.
Let me ask you this, right? Because I've got one client that I work with down in Florida who has a goal of growing his company.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and really he's looking at growing it from the standpoint of geography, right? He wants to get into new areas within his market.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not looking at going to other states, right? But within his market, and expanding out of the edges there. But he wants to do it within the culture of his company.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way he's doing it is through acquisition. Interestingly, but his goal is to look for companies that are owned by, where the owner is somewhere in the 55 to 60 year old range, and the company is losing money.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's the scenario, we're 55 to 65 years old, the company is losing money, has been losing money, what's the net result of that sale?
Generally, it's not very favorable for the seller.
I didn't prep you on this question. You didn't know I was going to ask that.
No, it's difficult. It's difficult to sell companies that aren't making money. Mm-hmm. It's not to say they can't be sold. If there's real estate associated with the transaction, that can be a component of it. Certainly, there's what we call goodwill. There might be a market penetration aspect, or in today's climate, just employees. I have people looking for companies because they have employees, and I have one company they're not in Wisconsin, they're in the Midwest, and they have about 50% of their technicians are NATE certified. Well, guess what their competition's looking for?
Yep.
Employees. And so there is a component of that, but it's not very favorable. Goodwill isn't a large component of any transaction.
The reason why this particular business owner is looking, that those are his his criteria is because he knows he can buy it for a song.
Fire sale,
right? Because the owner is looking, oh, if I can get something out of this thing, it's better than nothing. And then the second thing is he usually asks that owner, right? If they're 55 to 60 years old, they've still got a couple of years in them. Mm-hmm. So come on and manage, right? Work for me and manage this thing. And then the biggest thing was employees. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's his goal.
Yeah, and that's a big component of consideration for a buyer. Oftentimes they'll look at, is that 55 or 60? Well, you're not 59 and a half, so you can't really access all those qualified plans that you put in place with your financial advisor. And the reality is, buyers enjoy the opportunity to have a previous owner stay on either in an hourly position, salaried position, or sometimes even on a consulting basis.
Sure.
So that's a consideration as well. So, when I'm targeting or looking at potential prospects, companies, I look at the same thing. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of research on LinkedIn. We have some tools that we use in our tool belt that allow us to identify ages and via LinkedIn, and we're really looking for professional companies that have a presence and that are structured.
Sure.
And when we look at that, universally, it just seems universally that we're talking about companies that are profitable, and that 55-year-old business owner, he's going to stay on for a few years, mm-hmm. and buyers like that. And, at the end of the day, it's really based on what that particular seller, what are his expectations? Sure. Do they want to stay on? Do they want to define? How do they define that? That's all part of the deal structure.
And that can be different for every sale, can't it?
It is always different in every sale.
So, one of the things there is again, just to kind of recap that example I gave up with the company in the South where he's looking to expand. He's looking for those companies that are not profitable, where the owner is starting to feel trapped. There's not an end in sight because he can get it for a song. Now, the sad part about that is on the other side of that purchase is an owner who's not getting nearly what he could had he done his job well in developing that company. Now, what are your thoughts? One of the things that I always look at if this sale process or this transition process happens, right? So we still got these three items here. All three of them are really looking at transitioning the company, right? Mm-hmm. So if that transition happens really successfully, the customers never know it took place.
Very true.
Right?
Yeah.
So what are you doing within your company today to make that transition as seamless as possible? Now, there's really a big key element in all three of these, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's kind of the time element, right?
Yeah. Yeah, timing is everything. And the sooner I had somebody tell me this years ago, and it's something that I've lived by in businesses that I've been involved with, mm-hmm. and that I've done some startups and I've done some purchasing into some businesses and sold my position and sold businesses personally. And one of the things that universally, when we're talking about timing, is prepare as early as you possibly can, plan as early as you can for that exit. Even if you're not expecting to exit, some people say I have a benchmark of this many sales or this much market penetration or what have you, but it might be as simple as a time. Mm-hmm. I'm looking when I turn 50, I'm going to start preparing for my exit at 55. And really, I think 3 to 5 years is pretty, typical for somebody that's really doing a planning process. Not to say, on the exit strategy side, we do see those situations where, and we can be flexible and work with that, but in order to maximize the opportunity and get the most cash out of a business upon sale, you need to plan for it. And not just a business plan, but an activity plan needs to be generated that takes you from a thought process of selling to passing the baton.
Okay, so what's that difference between the business and activity? Well, not just a business plan, but an activity plan. How would you differentiate those two?
There are a lot of things that you need to do. You need to prepare employees. I think as we all know, are our most effective asset. You need to prepare the employees' training. You need to have that culture. Culture is developed. It's not trained. Mm-hmm. So over time, as you develop that training, that's going to influence the culture. But employees are the key. Processes, looking at the numbers, looking at the financials, and regularly.
Yep.
And honest.
Yeah, right.
And honestly.
Regularly, more than twice a year.
Most people, we find that most people plan their vacations more than they plan their business.
I totally agree.
So, I've been guilty of that myself. But having that planning process is so critical. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. It goes beyond the employees. It goes beyond culture. It goes beyond if that becomes the culture of your management team and your ownership team, that we look at this. I mean, we have, you know, and maybe some of you out there, you know, have a date night once a week or once a month where you sit down and talk about budgets and finances with your spouse. I do that. Mm-hmm. I never did. You know, my wife is like, "This is what we're doing," keep mom happy, right? Mm-hmm. But when you have that focus and when that becomes the touchstone of what you do in your business, mm-hmm. to look at the numbers, to look at the training and the process,
yep.
it's so all encompassing. You know, in every aspect of a sale, it pays dividends.
Yep.
When you have a trained staff and you have a trained management team with structure, where you're structured, and that doesn't necessarily have to be formalized mm-hmm. with job titles. It can be, Sue does this or John does this, and these are the parts of that role that they're responsible for.
Yep.
Just having those kind of things and being able to articulate that to a buyer. Mm-hmm. Gets you more money because they understand that it goes beyond just, you know, a job description or a job design.
Right.
It's cultural. Mm-hmm. And culture is what buyers and sellers alike like to maintain.
And let's just be very clear. You already have a culture in your company. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. The question is it a good culture or a bad culture? But you already have one. So the board is still pretty empty. If you've got any questions for either myself or Glenn as we're talking through this stuff, feel free to put them in there. We'll absolutely hit those as we go through this process. So feel free to put those in and so we can hit them. So let's move on a little bit farther. Now, you know, we talked 20 minutes already, right, about exit, succession, a transition, right? Why is that so important? Right. And there's two stats. And I guess I'd like you to just your thoughts on these. Right. The first one is this. Right. When we look at the transfer of wealth from one generation to the next, the success rate of that isn't historically really good. Mm-hmm. Right. When we see it at this point here, we can see 70% of wealth that's passed from one generation to the next is lost by the second generation. And 87% of it's lost by the end of the third generation. Why is that?
I don't know. I think it might be a loss of the hustle, you know, mm-hmm. it, to some extent. I always call it the thunder, blunder, wonder principle. The first generation, thunder. The second generation, blunder. And the third generation is wonder. Where'd the money go? It can be when you're immersed in a not-so-good culture. If the culture isn't positive, if there isn't a system or process in place, that can affect that.
Sure.
I've seen that in manufacturers. I've seen that in contracting companies, service companies, technology companies. That's typically the case.
How much of that do you think is because odds are, right? So you're thunder, blunder, wonder, right? I always call it, first generation built it, the second generation milked it, the third generation killed it, right? So it's the same thing. Yeah, but here's the thing, right? That first generation, when you got into this, if you are that first generation, you have a passion for this. Does the next generation have the same passion?
That is a great point. Our broker, my mentor, Michael Schwantes, always says, passion is the key. If you can transition your business while you're still in have that passion, yep. it makes it so much easier, because at some point we're getting the buyers and the sellers together. Mm-hmm. We're going to introduce those folks because we need to make sure that it's a fit for both.
Sure.
And if the passion is gone, a savvy buyer is going to pick up on that immediately.
Sure.
And that's going to hurt you in terms of real dollars.
What you end up getting out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I always looked at that as a reason for the failure rates here. But, mm-hmm. it didn't realize it necessarily, always, played out in the terms of the actual buying price. Mm-hmm. So one that goes along with that one then is the actual success rate or failures of the businesses themselves, right? 67% of businesses fail with the first generational transfer. 90% fail on the second generational transfer. That's huge.
It is.
Right. Now, and really, when I look at that, the sad part about that is, look at all the time, the energy, the sweat, the blood and the tears that you put into building this thing, right? And the next generation, it doesn't last.
It's the difference between riches and wealth. Riches is having money. Mm-hmm. Wealth is being able to transfer it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's so important to really think about that, mm-hmm. right, as we move forward a little bit. So that's one of the reasons why it's so important, right, is because of this piece of the puzzle. Now, we always relate this back to, a relay race, right? We've got our baton here, right? And there's a lot of parallels in handing off that baton, isn't there?
There are.
In terms of in the relay race as well as here. So, let's look at a couple of those real quick, right? So if I just put a few of these up on the board, if we look at it, the race is won or lost in the exchange. Now, what do we mean by that? Right? If we think about it, the previous owner can do really, really well. Mm-hmm. The next owner may have the potential to do really, really well. But if they can't transfer the baton from one to the other...
Mm-hmm. And it's in that transition. It's in that transition leading up to when we're, when that race is being run and that runner has the baton, it's all in how is that transition? That transition is that person coming up behind him. How's the actual physical exchange of that baton? Just like a business, mm-hmm. when the ownership reins are handed over, what does that look like in terms of...
Oh, it's easy, Glenn. We'll just close the doors for 4 months, right? We'll transition. I'll get you up to speed, and then you can open up a new company and start over,
and right? Hopefully all your business, hopefully all right. Your clients are there,
all the
right?
All customers are gone at that point.
And really, it goes even beyond that exchange of the baton. It goes past. Is that person that was... that passed the baton to the new person, are they running behind them? Are they encouraging? Are they mm-hmm. are they pushing that person, psychologically, emotionally, maybe financially, if there's some owner financing involved in the sale?
Sure.
Because, there might be a component in that sale of an earnout, which is mm-hmm. where, let's say your business is worth $1 million, somebody buys your business for $1 million and they say, well, I'm going to give you $500,000 at closing, but the other $500,000 is going to be based on the performance of the company over the next 3, 6, 12, 18, 24 months, whatever it is. And mm-hmm. that's, based on how the deal is determined. That $500,000 remaining yep. might potentially be $700,000 or $1 million, depending on what kind of growth. It's usually a percentage.
This is a vested interest on the part
absolutely.
Of the seller to make sure things keep rolling along. You need to train for the exchange as much as the race.
Absolutely.
Because think about it again. If it doesn't matter how fast either one of the runners are, mm-hmm. if they can't get this stupid little stick from one person to the next,
right?
We have a problem.
Absolutely.
And the same thing applies in the business. Simple handoff is not as simple as it appears. There's a lot of moving parts here, aren't there?
I've had situations with contractors where they've said, "Well, I want to sell," and here's 6 months. 6 months from now. My son's leaving the country, or 6 months from now, I'm moving, and we sold our house, and we're closing.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. okay, we'll be flexible, but there are no – some businesses can sell in 2 days. Some businesses can sell in 2 years. It really depends on who's willing or interested in looking at it.
Sure.
We can only do so much with marketing, and we can reach everybody that we think are potential prospects. But at the end of the day, the simple handoff, it's not as simple. It's really not. And right. And if you want the longevity, and buyers do, buyers don't want to come in, take it over, you know, the seller leaves, and now they're left holding a bag of a business that they may or may not be ready to engage in.
Ah, okay.
You know, culturally, mm-hmm. You know, there's a transition that needs to happen. We engage public relations firms from mm-hmm. time to time, and work with companies like Grandy too. I mean, that's something that you can certainly assist people with, just in that transfer, and how that communication occurs is key.
Communication to the team, to the customers,
the team, the customers, the buyers, the, you know, buyers to sellers, sellers to buyers, the bankers, professional relationships,
sure.
Trainers, you know, all those are instrumental in success.
Yep. No question. Let's see the next one. It's not how fast you run, but how well you work together. Not how fast you run alone, right? How well you work together.
Well, the only thing that runs slower than me is my phone. But I'm not, you can probably tell I'm not a big runner. Back in the day, maybe, but no, it is how you work together is so key. Mm-hmm. It's paramount. And that goes back to training.
The idea when you're selling a business of just literally handing off the keys and walking away isn't really there, is it?
Boy. You might hand the keys over, but you're not being weighed down by your wallet at that point,
right?
Because the money isn't going to be as robust if you do that.
Yep, I agree. So number five, you need to let go of the baton at just the right time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. I mean, here at Grandy & Associates, as we look at that piece of the puzzle, I've got personal experience with this one in that, you know, Tom Grandy, you know, was the founder of the company. He started the company. I came in after several years, right, joined, worked with Tom for 9 years, and then bought the company from him at that point. Now, I remember vividly the day that we had spent months negotiating what this would look like. And, he and I were working together every single day. The day that we signed the agreement for me to buy this company, literally, Tom signed the agreement. He stopped, set his pen down, and he said, "Now, I want to be very clear. From this moment forward, the company is yours. From this moment forward, the decisions are yours. From this moment forward, the risks are yours. And from this moment forward, the massive upside that could be there is yours as well."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was very... He told me, he said, "Bill, I will give you whatever assistance you want. I will give you any advice that you want, but you have to make the final decisions." He was very, very intentional about handing off the baton. Mm-hmm. And it's important to do that. I mean, have you dealt with those situations? I know I have. The situations where, in a sense, I think happened more in a family transfer,
mm-hmm.
right? Where mom and dad built the company, and now son's going to take over, but I'm not going to let go of that baton.
It happens, right? A lot.
Go ahead and take the company and lead it as long as you do it my way.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
It's very difficult for some people to let go, mm-hmm. because it's your baby. It's your passion.
Right.
And
there we go again.
Letting go of passion is something we have to kind of prepare for. It's not something that we can just cut off.
Right.
So having that... having that consideration is important.
Yeah. I think number six here is important, is you need to keep up the pace as you run the race, right? It's not like we can just close the door for a couple of months, right?
Right, right. And that's, again, you know, passion. But when you're getting ready to sell your business is when you really have to make every effort. Even, I had a client putting out new marketing pieces as they're in the transition. And it was huge because it actually showed the passion, mm-hmm. but it also, they identified, you know, we always tell people, is there anything that you would tell a buyer to do? Mm-hmm. Something that maybe you've never done, something maybe that you have done, and think outside the box. Mm-hmm. What are those things that you maybe consider, something you always considered doing but never did?
Sure.
We've had situations where people say, I thought about doing this. I thought about adding this service or this benefit, you know, for my customers, mm-hmm. This product line, and they had never done it, or a collaboration or an affiliate relationship or whatever it might mm-hmm. be. But they develop those situations in that transition, it's powerful. Because now you're not only are you handing off the baton, but you're giving them a little push in the right direction as well. So very
kind of setting them up for success or the potential for some real success.
Absolutely. And in situations where there's that component of an earnout, huge.
Oh, yeah. Because the next person may have even more passion to run with that.
Absolutely. And they might have some new, fresh, different ideas. And you know, as you know, sometimes it doesn't need to be a better idea. Right. It just needs to be different.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and part of that, I get it, right, is you know, 20 years ago, I didn't understand it. Right, where you'd see, you know, a little bit older business owners and they're just, okay, they're doing it, right? You can still see they got the fire in the belly, but well, let me tell you, at this point in time, I still got the fire in the belly and there's no question about that. But man, I go home some nights and I'm tired.
Oh, sure.
I'm just flat out tired. Yeah. And I get that part of it. That happens. So, and the last one here, it's not the speed of the individual runner, but the planning of the exchange of the baton. Again, it's all about plan. Everything we've talked about so far is getting that plan in place, isn't it?
Everything so often is won and lost in a race in that regard, but also in the transfer. So many opportunities are realized. So many unresolved opportunities are realized in that exchange, and timing is key.
You know, one of the things that that just kind of strikes me here real quick is that, you know, when we talk about that handing off the baton, it's not simply handing off the baton. But again, this business owner has, you know, they've got so much energy and so much invested. There's way too many company owners, quite frankly, that their retirement is tied up in trucks and used tools and buildings and stuff, and they have no liquid cash.
Right.
And so it's also, how much can I get for that baton? Right.
Yep.
Right. And that's an important piece. And I think a lot of these things that we're talking about are just enhancing what you can get for the baton, aren't they?
Absolutely. You know, valuation. You know, we're talking about valuation.
There's a big question. That's the first question that always comes up when we teach this class. What's my company worth?
Yep. At the end of the day, what somebody's willing to pay for it. But sometimes we can have, you know, multiple potential buyers competing to buy the business. And that's a fun thing. That's a lot of fun. We really enjoy that. We had an $85 million cheese company that our firm had for sale, and we didn't even put a price tag on it. It started off as a $17 million value and went up to $85
million. Really?
17 to 85, that's a nice jump. And, you know, situations like that where there's a competitive process, sky can be the limit in some cases.
Absolutely.
But valuation is so important. When we're talking about valuation, you know, I always recommend people, whether you know, you work with CBS Global or you work with someone else, I always say get a evaluation of your business done every 3 to 5 years. It's a prudent thing to do because it gives you that benchmark. It tells you where you're at in space, time, and you know, how much is my business worth? Well, you have to have a professional valuation, and I argue, you know, certainly a CPA can do that. I like valuation services. We have a valuation specialist in-house, and she's very third-party. She doesn't communicate except through the business intermediary with the client in 90% of the cases. And she's very impartial. She's going to have a numbers, you know, she's going to have the numbers like a CPA would. She's going to look at the numbers, but she's also going to look at market factors, real estate, and things of that nature as well. It's really important to consider the value of not only the business, but the real estate. If it's an asset sales, you know, unfortunately, it's sometimes that's for somebody that's maybe not generating substantial earnings. That might be where we look at. And, you know, to have the ability to look in depth into what those assets are actually worth, very important.
And the one thing we got to remember is that it seems that every time we do this, you know, everything is like it's gold plated suddenly, right? I mean, that 17-year-old Sawzall is now worth $4,000, right? So we have to be realistic about that. And that's the nice part about evaluation is because all the subjectivity is taken out of it, isn't it?
And ideally, you're not doing it because you have to, you're doing it to get an understanding of value. It's also going to, you know, there are certain ratios that we look at when we're doing valuations of businesses specifically. It's going to identify the potential unresolved opportunity. I don't call it a problem. I'll say unresolved opportunity. There are going to be things there that maybe aren't favorable. and we'll be able to identify that in the valuation process. And if you do it every 3 to 5 years, you're going to have time
to fix it.
To fix it.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to adjust the process to fit the need.
And I was going to ask you earlier, okay, you say every 3 to 5 years, why is that important? That right there is a really big one, isn't it?
That's a huge. And market considerations, too. We all know, you know, the restaurant industry suffered some issues with COVID. Now, right. You know, I just recently sold a bar restaurant closing here in another month, and I had a ton of activity on it. But it was everybody looking, you know, to an extent for our fire sale.
Sure.
So putting deals together, it becomes, how do you say, it's important to have that valuation updated because things not only the market conditions certainly change, but it could be something age of equipment, maybe sure. A technology change. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be, you know, I'm trying to think of something in the contractor world, but
yeah, there's no question. Just the technology that you're using, the equipment you're selling mm-hmm. versus right if you're selling all entry level stuff, and that's the level that you're at as sure. a company. Anybody and everybody sells that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What think a single stage versus two stage or variable stage.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, huge. And if, you know, you had a warehouse full of single stage units and, you know, everybody in the marketplace was promoting the two stage and variables.
Yep.
You know, when they first came out, that could have been a factor.
You know, and even the point where my guess is that it would identify it. I mean, how much cash you have on hand.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Because the typical contractor, especially smaller companies, big ones, different story, but the typical company mm-hmm. can last about 7 days.
Right.
I mean, if money stopped coming in today, mm-hmm. they last about 7 days. That's all the cash they have,
yeah.
right? What should they have?
That's a tough question. That's a loaded question. You know,
the guideline is always about 90 days.
At least. I would say 180 days isn't mm-hmm. out of line. But when you're looking at cash on hand, you know, the other thing to consider when you're preparing for sale mm-hmm. is, you know, we talked earlier about who is that buyer going yep. to be. Knowing who that buyer is going to help you decide if you're going to need to transfer. And again, you know, depending on the company size, you may need to include some operating capital
in there. Sure.
As part of the purchase price.
So there again, time is right? Because it's not time. Like you can just say, okay, you're right. Right? Glenn says I should have 180 days. So let's just, starting tomorrow, we'll have 180 days. Right? It takes mm-hmm. time to build that out.
It does. It does. But it also, when you have cash that you can offer as part of the sale price, mm-hmm. you know, insofar as, you know, operating capital, it opens up more buyers.
Sure.
Because if you're a large company and you're adding, it reduces, you know, it gives you an opportunity. You look more attractive because you have that cash coming with the deal. Well, hey, now I can float this until I can get transition, you know.
And that's a challenge, isn't it? Right? I mean,
absolutely.
The bigger the company, the fewer potential buyers out for that thing.
Potentially, yeah.
Right? We did so well at growing this thing and building it, and now all of a sudden there's nobody that's got the money to take it over.
Right.
Could be a challenge. All right. So, all right, we've been bouncing mountaintops here, right? So we've got a graphic here that we've got a couple of things that we are going to send to you afterwards, right? And this is one of them, right? There's a lot of detail here on this page, and it's really 10 action steps that we look at that you should be considering as you're in this planning process. Are there any on here that you know, Glenn, that you would pick off is really critical?
All of them, but
that's why we have them on the list.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think financial and timing are key. And with timing, action step two, which we'll be talking about next month, mm-hmm. We'll talk about what buyers are looking for in purchasing companies. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that they're looking for may take time to develop. And mm-hmm. That's going to be critical. Selection. Obviously, very important. Do you have a clear leadership profile? You know, speaking again, anything that deals with systems and structure is going to be very important to a buyer.
Sure.
They love structure. They love process. They love systematizing.
And enables you to get more for the company.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you can go right on down the line. Sure. But, you know, I always say at the end, Action step 10 is also very important. Relationship, what does that look like? You know, we talked about passing the baton. There has to be a defined moment where this is your company. You know, I'm here for you, but this is your company and your decision.
Yep, absolutely.
These are your decisions.
So we'll include this in the email, follow-up email for you that we'll send out. We'll have this in it. Now, we've got these action steps that are there. So then, you know, again, we've said several times now, time is kind of a critical thing. Mm-hmm. So we've also got a couple of timelines for you, right? And so yeah, you can see on here, we've got the individual action steps and really kind of where they would start to lay out within that buying process. Earlier you said either 3-year or 5-year to make some sense, but you need to decide what that is. And so you can see where, you know, if you're on a 3-year, we're going to hit a couple of these a little bit quicker. If you're on a 5-year plan, well, then you got a little bit more time. We can be a little bit more deliberate about each of these. Now, when we say, and would you agree with me on this? You know, when we say action step one, and when that, then you go to action step two, right? That's in years one, right? And then you go to action step three. These aren't going to happen as a standalone silo each.
No. No, they can happen simultaneously, and there's going to be aspects of all the steps, potentially, you know, when you're talking about development, step six, that could be something you could very well be working on very
today,
early on.
Right.
And arguably, I would encourage everyone to consider that at all times, but especially if you're looking to transition, really look at your business. You know,
right.
That's something that we can do or you can do for the clients. And, you know, we're a third party. We can look at it from a, you know, very objective position, get a valuation and look at it and say, okay, here's some things that we're noticing. And I'm happy to do that. We can, you know, most of the time as we look at the financials, that's a, you know, that's a snapshot, but it's not the full picture.
Right.
The full picture is, you know, tell me about your systems. Tell me about your culture. We have a very in-depth discovery process when we're selling a business that encompasses all kinds of questions that you would never think a business broker or intermediary would ask. You know, things like, what's your plan for retirement after this? Is there an encore career? Okay. You know, financially, what are you looking to accomplish personally, professionally? What's your charitable situation? Do you have a charitable, part in your life that you want to really focus on? And you know, those are things, gives us a flavor for the person. And, you know, so all those things are very important. But again,
they're also critical to the, really, to the success of this whole process, right?
It is.
But as importantly, that's important to you because there has to be a next chapter,
right?
You know, too many people, they retire. You can only go home and watch TV and read the newspaper for so long. You gotta have, you know, as human beings, we're designed to have a purpose, right? So what is your purpose going to be after the company is no longer yours? So, you know, we need to think about that sooner rather than later.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.